This morning, turn to the Old Testament, the book of Judges. This morning, the Old Testament and the book of Judges. We're going to use a character that was taught on in Sunday school just a week or two ago. Look at Gideon for just a few moments this morning, or try to draw some thoughts from him, from the Word of God on this Father's Day. Again, we appreciate all of our fathers, and I hope and pray that you have a great day today as you celebrate this day. And certainly, as we celebrate these special days, it helps us all to maybe reflect upon our responsibilities and the duties that we have as men, or as on Mother's Day, and certainly as moms and women. And so today I want to look at a few thoughts that the Lord's placed upon our heart, and I pray they'll be a blessing and a help and a challenge to all of our men, whether you're a dad or not this morning. I pray to be a challenge to all of our men here, irregardless of your age, irregardless of your background, irregardless of your abilities or your talents. I pray that God would speak to all of us here this morning and help us. You know, the title for the message is simply this: God still looking for a few good men. God's still looking for a few good men. I tell you this morning, I pray that we'd be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Let God speak to us here this morning. And certainly if you're not saved, that today you'd allow Christ to come into your heart and to save you. If you're not living for God like you need, like you ought to, like you need to be, then I pray that God would speak to you and help you as well. And then all of us would be challenged here as men, that we would be men that God would be pleased with and that God could use for His honor and for His glory. Judges chapter number 6 this morning. Judges chapter number 6. And I'm going to look at a few verses. Also in chapter number 7, I may not look at those verses for the sake of time, but certainly here within these verses or these chapters, we have the life of Gideon. Of course, as you study the book of Judges, you will find it was a time after the death of Joshua that God began to raise up these judges. Of course, Israel continued to sin. They did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And we see that God would raise up these judges. They would cry out unto God, and God would raise up these judges to help them and to lead them. And this morning, as we look at it, and the things that were going on in the life of the children of Israel, I believe we can see so many of those things comparative to the day and hour in which we live. Because I think one of the main verses in the book of Judges is when God makes the statement that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so this morning we're living, I believe, in that day, in that very society where so many people today are doing that which is right in their own eyes. And so this morning, again, may we be challenged by the Word of God to rise up and be the men that God has ordained us to be, so that we might could lead our families and our churches and be certainly the light and the witness in our communities and to our friends and on the workplace. Because, you know, God's still looking for a few good men. So that being said, this morning I want us to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not able to stand, then certainly that's okay. Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abarazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee." Thank God for that statement. "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." "And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then too is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites." Verse 14, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." I'm going to stop reading right there for the sake of time this morning, and may the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence again this morning, Lord, to thank you again for another day on this side of eternity, to thank you, Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the privilege that, Lord, you've allowed us to gather back to your house this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. We thank you this morning for the singing. We thank you for our dads today, most of all. We do thank you for our Heavenly Father this morning. And Lord, as I stand now in this place, I realize that, Father, I stand in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. I pray for fresh anointing this morning. I pray to anoint my heart, my mind, and my mouth, Lord, that I would say those things, Lord, that need to be said in this service. And then, Lord, I pray that ears and hearts will be open and receptive of what you have for us here this morning. I pray the Spirit of God will just move among us. I pray you'll challenge, Lord, every man, Lord, is seated, Lord, in this sanctuary today. Lord, may we be, Lord, what you have called us to be and appointed us to be and ordained us to be, that we might be men, Lord, that would lead our families and, Lord, lead our communities and our churches, Lord, in a way that would be pleasing unto you. Lord, I pray if there be one here today lost, Lord, this morning, that the Spirit of God would draw them. And, Lord, this very day, Lord, they'd step out by faith, Lord, and receive you as Savior, maybe one cold and different. Lord, whatever the need, God, I pray you'd work among us today. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. Bless our time together now. Lord, we're going to thank you, and we're going to praise you for what you have done, for what you're doing, and, Lord, for what you're going to do. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Again, the title or the thought that I want to leave with you, or I pray that God will impress upon your heart and your mind this morning, is God's looking for a few good men. Now, this morning, as we consider that thought that God's looking for a few good men. Now we know as we consider the Word of God this morning and we consider our own lives that we truly know this morning that as the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans in chapter number 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. So we know within ourselves today, within this body of flesh and who we are, that none of us are good, none of us are righteous, and certainly we need God's righteousness imputed unto each and every one of us here today. And so again, I would say, if you do not know Christ as Savior, you'll never be the man that God has appointed and ordained you to be until you get saved by the good grace of God. And then this morning, not only in salvation, but certainly serving and doing and being just being who that God has made us to be. But we know that there's none good, and we understand that. But certainly, again, within ourselves, none are worthy of any good thing from God today. But aren't you glad for a God that blesses today? Aren't you, again, as the choir so wonderfully sang about, this morning. I thank God for His blessings upon each and every one of us here this morning. I'm glad this morning what God can and will do in our lives and through our lives if we will yield ourselves to Him. What's needed today in our day is for us men to yield themselves to the Lord Jesus today and His way and not our way. Let us not be like the children of Israel was in their day, that men done that which was right in their own eyes. Let us yield ourselves this morning, men, to God's way and God's will, not only for our lives, but for our families today. God's looking to you and I this morning to lead our families in the right way. And simply this morning, God is still looking for a few good men that will yield themselves, submit themselves, be obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Why? Because this society so dearly needs some men that will stand up. You'll find now here in the book of Judges in the life of Gideon, and Gideon's an interesting character. You'll find, of course, I believe he was a man that was very fearful. He was a man this morning that he didn't know what direction to go in and exactly what he needed to do. But we see that God begins to call him, puts a call upon his life. You say, well, preacher, God's not calling me to anything this morning. Friend, I guarantee you one thing. God, if you're not saved, He's calling you to salvation. And friend, if you're not serving God, if you're not living for God, could I say that God is calling unto all of us today, whether male or female, that we might be saved and that we might live for God and be what God has ordained us to be. As I've said many times, I'd rather be an old-time Christian this morning than anything I know. Listen, serving God, hallelujah, there's no more joy in life than having and knowing that you're within the will of God. There's no greater peace today than knowing the Lord Jesus Jesus Christ as Savior and serving Him and giving your life and leading your family and leading the church. I'm telling you today, thank God, it's still God's way. It's still the best way. Oh, that we'd have some men that would rise up today and say, God, I'm going to yield to You and Your way. I may not understand it all. My abilities are weak, but God, within You this morning, God, with You and me this day, I know I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me today. Hallelujah. We need some men to rise up and be the men that God's called us to be. God's looking for a few good men. Now, I want to think about a couple of three things this morning quickly. I'll try not to keep you too long, but again, as you look at the life of Gideon, his name actually means warrior. But yet he was a man that seemed to know very little about war. He seemed to be a man that was very fearful and very afraid. And you know, there's times in our life we're the same way. Amen. There's times in our life we're the same way. But we see God begins to call unto Gideon, and Israel needed somebody to stand in the gap, if you will. God was looking for somebody that would be willing to rise up and be a leader. God's still looking for a few good men this morning. I don't have a lot of time to, if you got time, I want you to go back and read chapter 6 and 7 and 8 and look at the life of Gideon and a lot of different things there that I don't have time to mention this morning. Again, his name meaning warrior, but really an unlikely candidate to do something for God. There's probably people that's looked at my life and looked at your life and probably made the statement that they're an unlikely candidate for God to do anything with them or God to do anything in their life. I'm glad God can see potential that man cannot see. I'm glad God, thank God, not only can see potential, but I'm glad God can place in a man's heart and a man's life some things that will help us to be the men that God has called us to be. Oh, I'll tell you, America, hallelujah, needs some men of God that will rise up and live for Him and be what God has called us to be. God, help us this morning. There's three things that I want to share with you, and God's looking for a few good men. The first thing that I want to share with you this morning, as far as an outline's concerned, then God's looking for a few good men is number one. God's looking for some men that He can trust. God's looking for some men that He can trust, or is trustworthy, if you will. We're living in a time, as we've said so many times, that certainly this thing of being trustworthy or trusting is a very rare commodity in the day and hour in which we live. That word trust simply means of having confidence in. I'll tell you what, I know I'm nothing without God this morning, and I know that you're not anything without God. But with God, God can put a trust within us this morning that we would go forth from this place and that we would lead our families and we'd be a witness and a light to our communities. Listen, there needs to be some men that will rise up that God can put a trust and a confidence in this morning. I'm telling you today, hallelujah, again, I know, thank God, that none of us are worthy, but God's looking for some men that He can trust. We find Gideon down by the wine press threshing, and that was not the place for threshing out the wheat and all that stuff. I don't have time to get into all the details of the life of Gideon. But again, God saw something within Gideon that I believe He said, I can trust this man. I can put some confidence in him. I can put the Spirit of God in him. I can lead him, and I can use him. I want to tell you something this morning. Thank God, God can use men that He can put some trust in and put some confidence in. I mean, not just up and out and down and all those things. I mean, thank God, it'll be steadfast. That'll be faithful this morning. I'm telling you today, God's still looking for a few good men that He can put some trust in this morning. Your family desperately needs a husband, a father, a grandfather, a neighbor, a co-worker that God can put some trust in. Let me give you some things about. God's looking for some men He can trust. I love now Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. And let me say that again, that trust will have to start at a place called Calvary.
That'll have to start this morning. Thank God, accepting that precious blood that He shed there upon Calvary. I'm telling you, thank God for the precious blood that flows, hallelujah, from Calvary, that'll save and redeem any man, any woman, any boy, any girl this morning. And that's where trust, hallelujah, and faith begins. It begins at a place called Calvary this morning, my friend. But the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, there in the book of Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Think about Gideon. I thought about Gideon as I thought about this verse, and he didn't understand God coming to him there, sending the angel and calling him. And it's interesting, as you follow him in chapter number 7, as God begins to put together an army. God don't put together an army the way man puts together an army. Amen. Boy, it's so interesting this morning, and if I'm not careful, I get bogged down here. I want to tell you something. God was looking for some men I believe that He could trust, that would listen to Him, and that would go the way God said go, and do the way God said do. I'm telling you what, thank God so many times God will give us direction. I don't know, I may just preach right here a while. God will try to give us some direction from the Word of God, and we don't understand it all. We can't figure it all out. Listen, we're serving a God today that is much bigger than I. You and I, much higher than you and I. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Listen, I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to understand it. Hallelujah. All I need to do is trust God that He might trust me, that He might put a confidence in me for me to go and be what God has called me to be this morning and called you to be. So many times we try to lean on our own understanding. We want to figure it all out. So many men today, I'm afraid they think He has got it figured out. But I'll tell you what, we've not even begun to figure it out. That's the reason we need God. I believe we're living in a time to where there's too many men that think that they don't need God. They've got it figured out, and everything somehow or another is going to turn out all right. Listen, without God this morning, my friend, without God, we can't do anything, especially for Him. We can't live right. We can't do right. We can't be the husbands that we need to be. We can't be the fathers that we need to be. We can't be the men, again, that God has called us to be. We need God this morning, my friend. We need to be a men that God can trust. I'll get this verse of Scripture read here in a minute. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And I love these next few verses, or few words. And He shall direct thy paths. Is your path a little cloudy this morning, friend? Oh, my. I may just stop here and preach a while. Is your direction a little messed up today? Are you looking for the next place that you're going to turn to, or what you're going to turn to, or what you're going to do? Here in the book of Proverbs, the writer says, if we'll acknowledge Him, if we'll trust Him with all thine heart, He will direct our paths. And there's not a man sitting in here this morning. And for you young fellows coming on, as pastor, let me tell you something. You need God today. Amen. To make the directions that you need and the decisions that you need for your life. Right. But there's not a man sitting in here today that you don't need God in your life. I don't care how big you think you are, how tough you think you are, how knowledgeable you might think you are. You need God. You say, oh, only weak men need God. I tell you, all men need God. All men need God this morning. And we need to be men that God can put trust in. We, first of all, need to trust Him for salvation. Then we need to trust Him to serve Him this morning. Let me say something about this trust. As I said, first of all, we need to be men that will put their faith in Him. Friend, we may not understand it all, but let's put our faith in Him. Not only do we need to be men that will put their faith in Him, but we need to be men that will be faithful to His cause. Thank God for the women that make up Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. Amen. And thank God for so many women that help in so many churches in so many ways. Thank God for them. Thank God for you. I'm telling you what, God's looking for some men. Amen, preacher. Boy, I feel it getting awful tight. Amen, but I'm just going to go ahead and preach it anyhow like God gave it to me, and you can just do whatever you want to with it. But God's looking for some real men. God's looking for some real men that'll stand up in this day and not be ashamed of their faith and not be ashamed to be faithful to a God. Thank God that's been so faithful to you and me. I'm telling you this morning, thank God I owe Him my all. I owe Him my everything. God's been so good to me. God's been so good to you. God's been good to my family. God's been good to your family. And it's time that there be some men that would rise up in 2017 and say, irregardless of what the world says, irregardless of what the religious crowd says, irregardless of what the news media says, irregardless of what Satan may whisper in our ears, I'll tell you what, I've got a God that's worthy. That's worthy. Thank God to put my faith in. He's worthy to be faithful to His cause this morning. Thank God for the women of the church. But God's looking for some men that'll rise up, be faithful to the cause. What cause is that, preacher? The cause of Christ. I don't know of another greater cause. Now listen, God's called us to be leaders. He's called us to be breadwinners. He's called us this morning to be disciplinarians. But He's also called us to love. You do all that through the avenue of love. Oh my. It's getting tight, but just hold on. Put your seatbelt on. We're going to keep going. God's looking for a few good men that He can trust. The men that will put their faith in. The men that will be faithful to Him. And then the third thing this morning I want us to think about within this thought of some men He can trust. The third thing, that men that will get beyond their fears. Preacher, if we really commit ourselves to God, we just don't know where that's going to take us to. That's exactly right. But as long as God's driving the bus, as long as He's leading the way, Brother Archie, I believe it'll be all right. Hallelujah. Let's just keep following Him today. Let's keep submitting ourselves to Him. Hallelujah. We need His help. And I know it's a fearful time. And I know there's fearful things that come against us. I believe Gideon was a fearful man. But we see God begin to put a call on his life. He began to direct his life. And Gideon began to submit himself. I'm telling you this morning, we can get past those fears. I'm glad I don't have to live in the spirit of fear this morning. Greater is me that's in, He that's in me, than he that's in the world. I'm telling you, we got to get past those fears this morning. Because there's a battle out there ahead. Isn't it amazing as you study the Bible and as you study about Gideon, you study how God used Gideon. And boy, they was, and the Midianites, man, they was great in number. They was great in number. It was an impossibility. I'm glad God still deals in impossibilities. It looked impossible. All these men come up and they begin. We see how God begins to cut them out. Come down to 300 men. And Gideon. Going to fight a whole army of Midianites. But thank God there was a God that was going to fight for them and with them. Man, it's an interesting story as you read how all it transpired to defeat the Midianites. But they had to get past their fears. Sometimes, men, we got to get past our fears. Don't worry about what the world says. The world's going to talk anyhow, irregardless of where you live for God and where you don't. Why don't you just go ahead and live for God and let the world talk like you want to talk? Amen. Just live for God. God's looking for a few good men he can trust, can put faith and confidence in. Men that will put their faith in him and be faithful to him and get beyond their fears. Secondly, this morning, not only is God looking for a few good men that he can trust, but he's looking for a few good men he can teach. Or men that'll be teachable. Now, I know we got some good men in this church, and we got some knowledgeable men in this church, and talented men in this church. But I want to tell each of us something here this morning. Let's don't ever get to the place that we're unteachable. Because every one of us in here today have something to learn. Matter of fact, if most of us will be honest when it comes to the Word of God and the ways of God, we all got a lot that we need to learn. I've made this statement before, and I make it again this morning. The more I'm in this book, and the more that I try to learn, or feel like that I do learn, the less I know. This is a living book, serving a living God that knows all things and can do all things. Now, this thing of teaching sometimes comes in all kinds of ways. God's looking for some men that he can teach or that'll be teachable. Psalms 25:9, the Bible says, the psalmist says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. You've got to yield yourself to God if you're going to learn anything. And just like to a teacher or a preacher or anybody that's standing before you trying to teach you something, until you're willing to yield yourself to them, you're not going to learn anything from them. And again, God has lessons in all kinds of ways of life. I believe every circumstance of life. See, there are no accidents with God. Would you agree with me? There are no accidents with God. But man, the longer I'm in this thing, the more things that God allows me to go through, and he may take me through, I'm glad I get to go through them. I'm glad I'm not there to stay. I'm glad God takes me through some things. Listen, God may teach us through the fire. God may teach us through the valley. God may, and he will, teach us through the storm. Most of the time, there won't be a whole lot of teaching going up on the mountain. Enjoy the mountain as long as you can. But most of the time, the teaching is not going to be there. That's the time of rejoicing and praising and just worshiping God. But there are going to be times. We've got to go through the circumstances of life. And in every circumstance is an opportunity for God to teach us something.
Amen.
I wonder tonight, or this morning, how many times we go through a circumstance or a situation and we're going, oh Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why I'm having to face this. Friend, have we ever thought about it in a sense, God, what are you trying to teach me in all this?
Amen,
what are you trying to teach me? Sometimes he's trying to teach us, maybe I just need to trust him more. Maybe he's teaching me something that I can help somebody else with. Man, God's took me through some things I didn't understand. But in the end of it, when I got on the other side of it, God began to show me how I could help somebody else. Man, you're going to be faced with all kinds of circumstances in life. If you're the husband you ought to be, you're the daddy you ought to be, you're the neighbor that you ought to be, you're the worker that you ought to be. Listen, it's not easy. And there's going to be some circumstances come along. Your children, listen, you need to teach your children. We need to raise up another generation that knows God. Know something about God.
Amen.
Not just know something about him, but thank God get taught some things. But some things that you've been through, that's going to help them. We think it's bad now. Wait just a few more years if the Lord stays his coming.
Right.
Listen, I'm not trying to be all pessimistic this morning, all gloom and doom, because I'm serving a God that's on the throne and able today and still blessing and still moving. But if we don't teach this next generation about God, how to live for God, how to walk with God, how to have peace with God, I'm telling you, we're going to raise a generation that knows nothing about him. Thank God for the mamas that teach them. But I'll tell you what, us daddies, us men, need to be willing to teach them as well. We need to be teachable so that we can teach others. There in the book of 2 Timothy, as Paul is writing to young Timothy in chapter number 2, and he's talking about enduring hardness as a good soldier. And he talks about several things there, and you can write that scripture down and go look at it. But this morning, you'll find that it also talks about that we might be able to teach others also. Because life is full of teaching opportunities for God to teach us something and for us to help teach others as well. So this morning, God's looking for a few good men he can trust. He's looking for a few good men that he can teach. Psalms 27 and 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. The enemy's out there. The enemy's real. The enemy's going to resist. He's going to do everything he can to get you off course. And I'm afraid we're living in a day where too many of our men are off course. Listen, I love you today, and I'm trying to help us. But I'll tell you what, it's awful easy to get off course. We need to walk that plain path that God has for us. Two things about teaching, and I'll move on to my last point. Somebody say amen right there. Number one, we need to have a desire to learn. I don't believe an individual, whether it be man, woman, boy, or girl, will ever learn anything until they get a desire to learn. Now, I understand that God gives everybody different abilities and different talents. And thank God for that. But he gives all of us something. And whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, whether it's standing in a pulpit, whether it's singing in a choir, whether it's teaching at home, whether it's teaching our sons and our daughters the right way. Listen, we got to have a knowledge of the working of the Word of God working in our hearts and our lives so that we can teach them right. Amen. There must be a desire to learn. You know, for you children that are in elementary school and middle school and high school, they're trying to force you to learn. Of course, education system today has all become about taking a test, best I can figure. We forgot about reading and writing arithmetic. But when you go to college, it's just up to you. If you don't have any desire to learn, they ain't going to make you learn. You can go there, you can pay them your money, you can pay them mom and daddy's money. They'll take it all day long. You can show up to class. You can not show up. Hey, it's a whole lot like life, isn't it? Welcome to the real world. You can pay them all that money, they go to class, not go to class. Ain't no difference to them. Them professors get paid whether you learn anything or not. But if you go in there with a desire to learn, if you come into church with a desire to learn, if you sit down with your Bible with a desire to learn, God will teach you something. If you're going through the storm and you have a desire to learn something in that storm, from that storm, God will teach you something. Most of us spend our time complaining and whining because we're in it. Hey man, preacher! Preach on. Instead of, God, what have you got to teach me from it? I said there's two things. A desire to learn, a dedication to learn. Stay with it. Stick with it. Stay with the stuff. Commitment's a big problem in our day. About everybody I talk to that works people is an employer and they hire people. They tell me now these days you got to go about through 10 people to find one that will stick with it and learn the job. I don't know where I'd have the patience for that or not. Most of the people, too many people today go to a job and never have enough desire and dedication to learn that job to do it. It's all a learning process. You're not going to be the man you need to be. I'm not going to be the man I need to be until there is a desire to learn and a dedication to learn, because God wants to teach us some things. God was going to teach Gideon, these 300 men. He had some things he was going to teach them. Thirdly this morning, and lastly, I've got to get done. I'm beginning to lose some of you. You're going out there into the land of the great beyond. The twilight zone. I can see you now. You're drifting off. See, if we're going to be teaching, we've got to learn to hear, listen, and apply. Thirdly, God's looking for some men he can trust. He's looking for some men he can teach. Thirdly and lastly, he's looking for some men that'll just throw in and go to battle. Read about Gideon. Read about these men as God separated them out and come up with the 300. He was looking for some men that was interested in going to battle. Preacher, I'm not interested in going to battle. Well, friend, I'll tell you what. This thing of a Christian life is a battle, whether you want to admit it or not. What you and I need to do, hallelujah, is get on the front lines and go for God. I'm telling you that God's looking for some men that'll throw in and go to war. Give me three things, though. Let me give you three things about going to war for. Number one, you need to go to war. You need to throw and go into battle for your faith. We're living in a very religious time, but very little true faith. Somebody needs to stand up for the principles of the faith. We got enough compromisers. Amen. Got enough that's grown complacent. God's looking for some men that will rise up, throw in, and go to battle for the faith. Secondly, this morning, God's looking for some men to throw in and go to battle for their families. The destiny of your family may hinge on Dad, on what you do. If you ain't willing to throw in and go into battle for your family, who will? Now listen, as pastor, I'm praying for you and I'm praying for your family. But I'm telling you men something. You need to get to the place where, thank God, you're just going to throw in and go with God and go to battle for your family. Your family may be at stake this morning. And God's looking to you, not your wife. God's looking to you to lead that family. And I want to say something in the morning. You'll stand before God one day. I'll stand before God one day. You need to be praying for your wife. Preacher, how can I go to battle? How can I throw it and go to battle for my family? Get on your knees. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their future spouses. Our problem with families today, we're not throwing in and going to battle for our families. We're throwing in and going to battle with our families or against our families. Dad, you ought to encourage your children. Now, there's times you've got to discipline those children. But you do it in the right manner, in the right way. But I tell you what, you ought to encourage your children. Whether it be sons or daughters, you ought to encourage them. Well, preacher, they're not doing what I think they ought to do. Listen, whether they're a doctor, whether they're a lawyer, whether they're a mechanic, whether they're a carpenter, praise God, you ought to encourage them. Don't go war against your family. Go to war for them. Your children need you. Your wife needs you. Your church needs you. Your community needs you. And life is just passing by. We're letting other things just pass by. And God's looking for a few good men to throw and go to battle. Go to battle on your knees. Go to battle this morning with the knowledge of the Word of God. Go to battle this morning knowing that victory has already been won. Thank God, aren't you glad that victory has already been won? Now listen, there's still battles to fight, battles to face. But ultimately, if we'll stand for God, throw in with God. I'm glad the victory's already been won. It's already been won. I'm glad Jesus took. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God's looking for a few good men. That He can trust. That He can teach. And that'll throw in and go to battle for the faith, for their family, and lastly, for the furtherance of the gospel. Listen, I love you today, and I'm trying to help us. But I'll tell you what, it's awful easy to get off course. We need to walk that plain path that God has for us. Two things about teaching, and I move on to my last point. Somebody say amen right there. Number one, we need to have a desire to learn. I don't believe an individual, whether it be man, woman, boy, or girl, will ever learn anything until they get a desire to learn. Now, I understand that God gives everybody different abilities and different talents. And thank God for that. But He gives all of us something. And whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, whether it's standing in a pulpit, whether it's singing in a choir, whether it's teaching at home, whether it's teaching our sons and our daughters the right way. Listen, we got to have a knowledge of the working of the Word of God working in our hearts and our lives so that we can teach them right. Amen. There must be a desire to learn. You know, for you children that are in elementary school and middle school and high school, they're trying to force you to learn. Of course, education system today has all become about taking a test, best I can figure. We forgot about reading and writing arithmetic. But when you go to college, it's just up to you. If you don't have any desire to learn, they ain't gonna make you learn. You can go there, you can pay them your money, you can pay them mom and daddy's money. They'll take it all day long. You can show up to class. You can not show up. Hey, it's a whole lot like life, isn't it? Welcome to the real world. You can pay them all that money, and they go to class, not go to class. Ain't no difference to them. Them professors get paid whether you learn anything or not. But if you go in there with a desire to learn, if you come into church with a desire to learn, if you sat down with your Bible with a desire to learn, God will teach you something. If you're going through the storm and you have a desire to learn something in that storm, from that storm, God will teach you something. Most of us spend our time complaining and whining because we're in it. Hey man, preacher! Preach on. Instead of, God, what have you got to teach me from it? I said there's two things. A desire to learn, a dedication to learn. Stay with it. Stick with it. Stay with the stuff. Commitment's a big problem in our day. About everybody I talk to that works people, is an employer and they hire people. They tell me now these days you got to go about through 10 people to find one that will stick with it and learn the job. I don't know where I'd have the patience for that or not. Most of the people, too many people today, go to a job and never have enough desire and dedication to learn that job to do it. It's all a learning process. You're not going to be the man you need to be. I'm not going to be the man I need to be until there is a desire to learn and a dedication to learn, because God wants to teach us some things. God was going to teach Gideon, these 300 men. He had some things he was going to teach them. Thirdly this morning, and lastly, I've got to get done. I'm beginning to lose some of you. You're going out there into the land of the great beyond. The twilight zone. I can see you now. You're drifting off. See, if we're going to be teaching, we've got to learn to hear, listen, and apply. Thirdly, God's looking for some men he can trust. He's looking for some men he can teach. Thirdly and lastly, he's looking for some men that'll just throw in and go to battle. Read about Gideon. Read about these men as God separated them out, come up with the 300. He was looking for some men that was interested in going to battle. Preacher, I'm not interested in going to battle. Well, friend, I'll tell you what. This thing of a Christian life is a battle, whether you want to admit it or not. What you and I need to do, hallelujah, is get on the front lines and go for God. I'm telling you that God's looking for some men that'll throw in and go to war. Give me three things, though. Let me give you three things about going to war for. Number one, you need to go to war. You need to throw in going to battle for your faith. We're living in a very religious time, but very little true faith. Somebody needs to stand up for the principles of the faith. We got enough compromisers. Amen. Got enough that's grown complacent. God's looking for some men that will rise up, throw in, and go to battle for the faith. Secondly, this morning, God's looking for some men to throw in and go to battle for their families. The destiny of your family may hinge on Dad and what you do. If you ain't willing to throw in, go into battle for your family, who will? Now listen, as pastor, I'm praying for you and I'm praying for your family. But I'm telling you men something. You need to get to the place where, thank God, you're just going to throw in and go with God and go to battle for your family. Your family may be at stake this morning. And God's looking to you, not your wife. God's looking to you to lead that family. And I want to say something in the morning. You'll stand before God one day. I'll stand before God one day. You need to be praying for your wife. Preacher, how could I go to battle? How could I throw in and go to battle for my family? Get on your knees. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their future spouses. Our problem with families today, we're not throwing in and going to battle for our families. We're throwing in and going to battle with our families or against our families. Dad, you ought to encourage your children. Now, there's times you've got to discipline those children. But you do it in the right manner, in the right way. But I tell you what, you ought to encourage your children. Whether it be sons or daughters, you ought to encourage them. Well, preacher, they're not doing what I think they ought to do. Listen, whether they're a doctor, whether they're a lawyer, whether they're a mechanic, whether they're a carpenter, praise God, you ought to encourage them. Don't go to war against your family. Go to war for them. Your children need you. Your wife needs you. Your church needs you. Your community needs you. And life is just passing by. We're letting other things just pass by. And God's looking for a few good men to throw and go to battle. Go to battle on your knees. Go to battle this morning with the knowledge of the Word of God. Go to battle this morning knowing that victory has already been won. Thank God, aren't you glad that victory has already been won? Now listen, there's still battles to fight, battles to face. But ultimately, if we'll stand for God, throw in with God, I'm glad the victory's already been won. It's already been won. I'm glad Jesus took. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God's looking for a few good men. That He can trust. That He can teach. And that'll throw in and go to battle for the faith, for their family, and lastly for the furtherance of the gospel. So many people around us today, they're not ready to meet God. Well, preacher, it won't make any difference what I do. It might make a great difference what you do. We ought to pray. We ought to witness. Hey, we ought to be men that's not afraid to stand up and do what's right. Well, preacher, if I don't go along with my buddies down at work when they tell the dirty jokes, they'll talk about me. They'll talk about you anyhow. Hey, man, God's looking for a few good men. Looking for a few good men. None of us good, no, not one within our own righteousness, but thank God for the imputed righteousness of Christ. And see, there's one thing about this whole thing. It's up to us. It's up to us. Are we going to yield ourselves? Are we going to trust God? It might be your son or your daughter that's at stake. Might be your neighbor. Might be your loved one. Might be your marriage. Well, preacher, I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing wrong with mine. We'll just give the old devil an inch. He'll take a mile. He'll take over. Thank God for good godly moms. Good godly women. But God's looking for some men, some real men that'll stand up, be trustworthy, be teachable, and just throw in and go for God. I wonder today, are you that man? Are you that man? See, what you do with it's up to you. I preach what God's put on my heart. Now what you do, it's up to you. God's still looking for a few good men. Let's stand at our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, give a song of invitation. If you're here today lost, friend, the first thing you need to do is come to Calvary. If you're here today, God spoke to your heart through this message today. It's between you and God. God's still looking for a few good men that He can trust, that He can teach, and that will throw in and say, I'm going to go to battle. I'm going to go to war for my faith, for my family, and for the furtherance of the gospel. Father, we love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the time around the Word of God this morning. Thank You for the life of Gideon and for the example. Yet, he looks as an example that would never get accomplished what he got accomplished. But, Lord, I know he couldn't have done it without You. And, Lord, we can do nothing without You this morning.
I pray in the stillness of this service. I pray if there's any individual here today that's never trusted Christ as Savior, whether it be man, woman, boy, or girl, that, Lord, today we've presented enough of the gospel that, Lord, they could be saved. And I pray they'd come today. And then, Lord, if there's men here today that they just need to come talk to you. They just need to come and dedicate themselves and yield themselves. You're still looking for a few good men that you can trust, that you can put some confidence in, that it's going to stand in the good and the bad. Some men that will be teachable. Because, God, you got some things you want to teach us. And then some men will just throw in and stand and fight the good fight of faith. Because you're still looking for a few good men. And Lord, I believe it'd make a difference in our individual lives and in our personal relationship with you, with our families, with our church, with our witness. So, God, I'm going to give the invitation, but Lord, you're the one that actually pricks the heart. And so I just yield it to you this morning. God, you do and you work and you speak in the only way that you can. I pray that we'd be obedient and submissive to you this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Forever head bowed.